So by most calculations, by worldly calculations, this sanctuary actually isn't good for much. We who come and go through its doors, we don't produce any sort of marketable merchandise. We don't provide services reckoned to be commercially viable. Instead, we preside over this great expanse, because it is here that we come to meet and encounter the living God. We gather here week in and week out in the hopes that, like the prophet Isaiah, we too might glimpse the hem of God's robe, or hear the woof, woof of seraph's wings, or feel the thunderous presence of the mysterium tremendum, the awesome and terrible mystery that beats at the heart of our shared being. We come here to this house and home of the Prince of Peace to study peace while our nation glorifies war. In the context of a world that thrills to violence, violence that sells, violence that's marketable, profitable, we come here to practice peace. Amen. It is here that we come to sit at the knee of Rabbi Jesus, who trains and coaches us to turn the other cheek and go the extra mile. Amen. We gather here in this hushed and holy house to be tutored in the ways of kindness. It is here, in defiance of a culture of acquisitiveness, that we come to learn and practice the arts of generosity. Amen. It is here that we come to steep ourselves in the songs of David, in the fiery and fierce words of the prophet who demand of us justice. It is here that we acquaint ourselves with the living, breathing likes of Abraham and Sarah, and here that we come to learn from the sharp-edged contours, passions, eccentricities, and excesses of the Isaacs, Rahabs, Magdalenes, and Thomases. And it is to such a place as this that we come, our hearts brimming, our eyes filled with tears, when one among us passes from this world to the next. It is here that we tenderly lift to God the life of our beloved brother Ron and send him off, saying to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into your rest." Amen. Some years ago, therefore, when the MBTA informed us that they were under a federal mandate to make the Copley T station here handicap accessible, wheelchair accessible, we rejoiced. We rejoiced, for such work is consonant with Isaiah's God, the God who makes the rough places plain and the crooked places straight. Amen. 3 years ago, when the damage occurred, when our east facade sustained that through and through crack that put out the candles, we faced a tricky and complicated problem. How do we manage this? And we came here and we consulted our holy texts, and we came up with a text, a teaching from Rabbi Jesus. His words to his disciples when he sent them out into the world as sheep among wolves, and he said to them, he warned and admonished them, he coached and instructed them, "Be wise and cunning as snakes, but gentle as doves." Amen. For the next 3 years, that was our motto, our watchword and our pole star: be cunning and wise as snakes, but gentle as doves. Truth in advertising, we didn't achieve either, but we tried, and we measured ourselves by that plumb line. You remember the story of Jacob wrestling with a stranger through the night. Jacob found himself wrestling with a stranger until the break of dawn. When the stranger saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob, he wrenched Jacob's hip at its socket so that Jacob forever limped. Then the stranger said, "Let me go now, for the sun has risen." But Jacob said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." Those of us engaged in this work over the past 3+ years spent long nights, long days wrestling together, fighting for our lives, seeking the blessing of restoration. And sometimes we brought to this arduous work our better angels, and sometimes not. Sometimes we relaxed and paused long enough to refresh ourselves with laughter, as when, right after the damage, a news reporter called. He was following up on information that the MBTA guys working at Old South Church were doing crack. "Did I have a comment on that?" he asked. We paused from our wrestling together long enough to wonder and give God thanks when our conservator, Amy Applebaum, gave birth to her firstborn son, Jake. For the time I was privileged to attend the wedding of the daughter of our attorney and his wife, Steve and Miriam. Not only did their daughter get married during this process, she also gave them their first grandchild. We've been at this for a long time. Amen. Between weddings and births and vacations and promotions and illnesses and all the rest of life, we wrestled together day and night in meetings by email and phone. We produced documents, signed letters, filed reports, and wrote lots and lots and lots of checks. Amen. Ro, I see Ro back there. And if you were to ask, what is it that we were wrestling over? The answer is pretty straightforward. Money. Expense. That, after all, was what was at stake. That was the bottom line for the insurance companies, for the contractors, for the MBTA, and for the church. Money. And as I have mentioned, this grand expanse isn't really good for very much, at least not in the way of making money. This building doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of paying its own way in the world. And so we wrestled. But the truth is that this was, for almost everyone involved, a labor of love. Even as we wrestled through the night, and so much was at stake, we got to know each other, even as we argued across the table. We heard about each other's families and each other's lives. We shared religious holidays, and we engaged in interfaith conversations about our respective traditions, Jewish and Christian, Catholic and Protestant. We learned from each other. I'd like to ask now all of those, both from Old South Church and our outside contractors and experts, if you would stand now to be acknowledged. And if some of you brought spouses, so the spouses too. Come on, get up. These are a fraction of all, and I'm going to just say a few words about some of these folks. Bob Levitre, where's Bob? Our Mason? Bob. Bob, our Mason, who said to me when Hurricane Irene was coming through and he was battening down the hatches, he said, "Don't worry, Nancy, I will take care of this building as if it were my church." Thank you, Bob. He has done an amazing job here. I don't think there's anyone here from Consigli Construction, but Consigli was amazing for us. They assured us they would take good care of us, and they were all and more than true to their word. Jonathan Ambrosino and Joe Sloan, our organ maestros, are here. Jonathan tells us we have happy organs, and they're only happy because of Jonathan and Joe, who know every inch of every one of our 7,000-plus pipes and wires and everything. Art Feminella, our stained glass consultant, is here. Art, raise your hand. Oh, there you are, back there. You see what Art did for us? We practically need sunglasses today. They are dazzling, Art. Thank you. I don't think McPhail is here. Gary and Amy were amazing. Ann Coleman and David Snurch are here. And David, and where's Ann? And Ann's over there. Our engineers and restoration architects, just amazing. Amy designed the exterior scrim that was on the wall as well. I don't think there's anyone here from J.F. White or even anybody from the MBTA. I think they're happy to be done with us, actually. Kathy Green and Carl Krothammer are here from the UCC's Insurance Board, grateful to us that we saved them a pretty penny. Representing Old South Church is someone who has been here from the beginning. Rusty Ertzen back there. Rusty Ertzen was a part of what made us cunning. Rusty did amazing work before the damage occurred that set us up to be in a place to argue on behalf of the other guys making it right for us. Tom Bulkley, I don't think Tom is here. He spent a year after the damage almost every day just doing nothing but working with us. Dwight Crane and Phil Stern, the chairs of our Board of Trustees during successive years, they bore the weight of this building on their backs. Lois Corman, our project coordinator, we could not have done this without Lois and Roger Burke. Where'd Roger go? Anyway, there you are, Roger Burke, our owner's rep, who was spectacular for us. To the Old South congregation for your patience with us and the faith with which you entrusted your leaders, we give you thanks. And last but by no means least, I want to single out this morning for special appreciation our attorney in the matter of the crack. Steve Coleman was unbelievable, and he was behind the scenes. We were in negotiation and mediation, not litigation. And so Steve was behind the scenes coaching me and our trustees and others. He was sort of like our silent partner in the work, providing cunning and wisdom, helping us to manage a process that was simply foreign to us. Steve Coleman, this church owes you a profound, profound debt of gratitude. Would you stand up, please, and turn around and face the congregation? Steve Coleman of Goodwin Procter was a partner in this that we will forever be grateful for, and just amazing. So here's the thing. By most calculations, this sanctuary isn't good for very much, except this, the opportunity to encounter here the living God, to learn kindness and generosity, to be tutored in forgiveness, to practice peace in a manifestly violent world. In the end, that is what was and is at stake, and nothing less. Amen.